Hey, it's the commish. As we finally get another podcast here at JoeBucksFan.com. My fault, my bad. Toughest part in radio is trying to find a studio to do work in. Because other people, everyone thinks that their work is more important than everyone else's. So I finally found one, and so here we sit the day after the Gators had their pro day, and that's what we're going to focus on in this podcast, because the Buccaneers sent a huge contingent to Gainesville to witness this pro day. It was a big one when you have names like Joe Haden, Brandon Spikes, Carlos Dunlap. You had Aaron Hernandez, Tim Tebow, Marquise Pouncey, Riley Cooper, Major Wright. I mean, it was a huge, huge day. I called it the most important pro day maybe in the history. I'll say it, the history of the NFL draft. When you have that many players with that many questions, all with the amount of nerves I'm sure they had, with everything riding on what they did in their pro day, I'd say that would be the most important pro day in NFL history. And so some succeeded and some didn't. And we're going to talk about how they affect the Buccaneers. Funny that the Bucs had such a strong contingent in Gainesville, Raheem Morris, Dennis Hickey, scouts, whatnot. But none of those people went to Knoxville to see Eric Berry work out. All right, hey. Whether that means anything or not, remember, the Buccaneers fooled everyone by signing Byron Leftwich last year, and Raheem Morris laughed, saying it was a smokescreen so they could get Josh Freeman, and the joke was on us. Ooh. Yeah, who ended up being the starter for the first three games? Ugh. Anyway, let's talk about these Gators. Let's talk about some of the guys. I like to start on a positive note. Some guys that had good workouts yesterday. Joe Haden. You know, this guy goes to the combine and runs a 4.6 40. Now, some would have said that he was injured at the time. And he might have been. Because there's a big difference between running a 4.6 40 and running a 4.3 40. 4.3, high 4.3s, low 4.4s is what Joe Haden was clocked at. His biggest knock was that 40. His biggest knock was the speed. Now, I've watched the film, and somebody told me the other day that when you watch Joe Haden on film, notice how he always lines up on the short end, the shallow end of the field. You know, the near the boundary. Never lines up on the wide side of the field. Why is that? And, well, a lot of people started snickering and talking about was that they were trying to hide Joe Haden's lack of speed because of his speed at the combine. Well, when he goes out and runs a 4.3, 4.4 40, I don't think you need to hide that speed. So maybe it's just a coincidence that he was lining up on the short end of the field. Joe Haden, you know, when you watch him on film, he does like to blitz, and maybe that's to get him closer to coming in and blitzing the quarterback and getting after the quarterback. And probably just part of the scheme Charlie Strong had while he was in Gainesville. Joe Haden, though, how he affects the Buccaneers, well, I don't see the Bucs taking a corner that early. However, we've been wrong about the Bucs before. And you never know. Once again, with trades that happen in the NFL, Raheem Morris is a defensive backs guy. I do think corner is a much bigger need than people think. Last year, Albert Mack as your nickel, I don't know if it worked that well. Rondae Barber, this is going to be his last year. So after this year, you've got Aqib Talib and no one else. So who's to say that the Buccaneers, let's talk about the rumor. The rumor was that the Buccaneers are talking to Brandon Marshall, and I actually talked to the writer of this article. And you can listen to that interview over on our sister page. See, we're working hand-in-hand here at JoeBucksFan.com and 620WDAE.com. I also have a draft page over there where it's kind of a day-to-day, rumors, whatnot. But I did get a chance to talk to the writer of DraftHeadquarters.com who had the rumor about Brandon Marshall Buccaneers looking into him, and what the Buccaneers would do with the Broncos is swap first round picks and grab Brandon Marshall. I think it's a good move. I think you still keep a really, you know, a top 11 pick in a great draft. You don't lose a pick. You lose spots. And you get a receiver like Brandon Marshall who could be a number one possession guy. Still being able to get maybe a speed threat. Maybe a guy with some speed like Golden Tate at the top of the second round. And still have the 11th pick. You could get a defensive lineman there. Or, once again, Joe Hayden. Now, what happens if Joe Hayden falls a little bit? Even with his great 40 times. Now, all of a sudden, he runs a great 40, and people are saying top 10. When I say he's considered a top 10 pick, I say he's considered top 10 talent. But that doesn't mean he's necessarily going to go in the top 10. Because you look at the teams that maybe need corners as opposed to teams that need offensive linemen, and a lot of them do need offensive linemen, and need other positions as well. The Cleveland Browns are the one team that comes to mind that needs a corner. And if Eric Berry were to fall and fall to the Cleveland Browns, I expect that the Browns would jump on Eric Berry immediately, thus dropping Joe Hayden, maybe to the 11th pick, maybe to the Bucs. I think that's the only way you're going to see Joe Hayden really affect the Bucs is if they do trade down and do still have the ability to grab Joe Hayden at a certain pick. And I'll tell you what, once again, I think corner's a much bigger need than people are letting on to be. Listen, defensive line, biggest need. Wide receiver is probably, it's probably defensive line 1A, wide receiver 1B, or vice versa. They're both huge, huge needs and need to be addressed. Cornerback is right there, though. Because after this year, once again, you're going to be in a very sticky, sticky situation. There's nothing worse than being in a sticky situation. I think another guy who had a pretty good workout, let's stay on the defensive side of the ball. Carlos Dunlap, defensive end, weighed in at 279 pounds, still lighter than what he was listed at Florida throughout his career, and especially last year, listed at 293 pounds, weighed in at 279 pounds, but ran a much, much better 40-yard dash, much better than at the combine, where it was a 4.71 40 at the combine, only 21 reps on the bench. Now, he only had 22 reps in Gainesville, so he did get an extra rep, but he was much quicker in the 40. It really ran a tenth of a second faster, which is very good. Ran a 4.66 on his first 40 and then ran a 4.61 on his second 40. Carlos Dunlap is interesting. Character issues abound. Sometimes when his motor's running and he's on and he's dedicated, he might be the best player in the draft. But there is a question of drive and want to and whether he's willing to do what it takes to be great. Whenever you have that question about you, you're going to fall in the draft. And that's why I have him going last in the first round to the New Orleans Saints. And if he were to slip by the New Orleans Saints, which is absolutely possible, he could definitely slip into the second round with some of the questions. Carlos Dunlap could definitely affect the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because with that first second round pick that the Bucs have, third in the second round, if Carlos Dunlap's on the board, you have to look yourself in the mirror and think long and extremely hard, that's what she said, about taking Carlos Dunlap. Because your biggest need lies along the defensive line, and this guy could have the most talent in the entire draft. You just got to find a way to get it out of him on a consistent basis. And if you do, holy cow. I almost said it. I don't know if I can get fined. I don't think I can get fined here at JoeBucksFan.com, but holy jeez. I think he'd be too good to pass up there. Aaron Hernandez, also a very good pro day. Didn't work out at the combine. Ran in the 4.6 range. That should solidify a second round selection for him. The Buccaneers really don't need a tight end. I don't see Aaron Hernandez being anywhere on their radar. One guy who had a terrible draft who definitely affects the Buccaneers because they've already lined up a visit with him, but I don't know why you even look at him now if you're the Bucs, because if you're going to run the Tampa 2 defense, I have no problem with you getting a bigger linebacker that maybe doesn't have elite speed. But when a linebacker runs over a 5 flat 40, there's something seriously wrong. That's what offensive linemen run. That's not what linebackers run. That's what Brandon Spikes did at his pro day. I love Brandon Spikes' nastiness. I love the fact, I really do, that he went and tried and stuck his finger in some guy's face mask. Why don't you want your defensive players to do that? Why don't you want your middle linebacker to do that? Damn it, if Barrett Rude was half as nasty as Brandon Spikes, the Bucs would have a terror in the middle. But he's not. He's just not that type of player. Unfortunately for Spikes, he doesn't have the speed that Barrett Rude possesses. And Brandon Spikes now could be eyeing a third, possibly fourth round pick when many considered him a late first round pick not too long ago. And, well, Major Wright didn't do any workouts really at the pro day. Could be an option for the Buccaneers. They did just sign Sean Jones. I don't know if safety's as big an issue now for the Bucs, but remember, Tanner Jackson, one step away from really being in serious trouble and being out for the Bucs for a long time with the suspension. Major Wright is a big-time hitter. Didn't do really anything at his pro day once again. Projected to me maybe a late second, early third, maybe into the third round. All kind of depends on where all the safeties are going. If there's a run on safeties, Chad Jones' stock starting to slide a little bit. Really haven't heard much from Nate Allen. So there's really a good contingent of safeties that could be available late second, third, and maybe even into the fourth round. I'm kind of holding off on one guy. Riley Cooper, I believe he stood on most of his workout numbers from the combine. He's a bigger guy, does have some speed, is a mid-round wide receiver. Who else do we got? Marquise Pouncey. The Buccaneers looking at a center. I doubt it, sincerely doubt it, with Jeff Fain. That's why we really haven't brought him up. Last one, Tim Tebow. I don't think Tim Tebow affects the Bucs, but he affects everybody. He really does. You mention the word, his name, Tim Tebow, and people perk up. He's an intriguing guy. There's never been this much hype about a player that isn't going to go in the first round. I can't remember the last time there was this much hype about a player that is not projected to be a first-round pick. I like Tim Tebow. I've learned my lesson numerous times that when you count Tim Tebow out, he proves you wrong. And so I'm not counting him out. You know, you see the strides he's made in 5 weeks. It's not perfect. His delivery isn't perfect. His accuracy isn't perfect. His arm strength isn't perfect. But there's something about Tim Tebow that I'm confident about. I'm confident that he can lead a team out onto the field and will them to a score or will them to a victory. You know, Jeff Garcia has that kind of it. Jeff Garcia is not accurate. Jeff Garcia doesn't have a strong arm. He's got a fiery personality. He's a leader. And he's a winner. Tim Tebow, with the right coach, with the right system, you're hearing this everywhere. That's why I have him in my mock draft going to the Washington Redskins. I look at Mike Shanahan and the type of offense they run, that zone blocking, play action, boot off of that, hit your tight end in the flat, maybe throw it deep, have some time getting out of the pocket, not standing back there like a statue. He's got the athleticism to do that. To me, you talk about Buffalo, you talk about Jacksonville, you talk about Seattle, you talk about all these teams that need a quarterback. Washington, to me, would be the ideal situation for Tim Tebow. Indianapolis, New England, listen, they can take Tim Tebow, and it could happen. But how does it make your team better in the long run? How long do you think Tim Tebow is going to sit behind Peyton Manning? 5 years? 6 years? Why on earth would the Colts draft Tim Tebow when they have needs along their offensive and defensive lines? Could I see New England taking Tim Tebow? Well, Tom Brady has had some injury issues. Is that a possibility? Sure, especially with the Patriots having 3 second-round picks. One of those could definitely be Tim Tebow. But all 3 of those second-round picks come after the Redskins pick in the second round. Mike Shanahan has worked with young quarterbacks before, has had success with young quarterbacks before, has had success with many quarterbacks before. Dating back to John Elway when he took over at Denver, but then the success he had with Jake Plummer. Was Plummer the greatest quarterback in the world? No, but he was very good for that system. Look at Jay Cutler, what he did in Chicago without Mike Shanahan, without Brandon Marshall. Jay Cutler, once again, a good fit for that. You don't have to have the greatest quarterback in the league to succeed at Mike Shanahan's offense. But you get a leader like Tim Tebow in the NFC East playing that style of football. I don't know. I like the match. But I do see Tim Tebow as a second-round selection, not for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right, there's your breakdown of Gator Pro Day. As I know, this isn't JoeGatorFan.com, but listen, when Raheem Morris and Dennis Hickey and all these Bucs top executives go to Gainesville, it affects the Buccaneers in some way. I'm telling you how it did. I'm Justin Pulaski, the commissioner. Make sure to continue to check back here for the best draft coverage around for hardcore NFL draft fans right here at JoeBucksFan.com.